local news, traffic, sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening and welcome to The Edge News for Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Alyssa Roldan, coming to you live, from the SUNY New Paltz campus. Today's show will be a little bit different, so stay tuned for an exclusive interview with Lyra and Leah, some of the members of the creative team of the Miami Theater Players. Topping tonight's national headlines. A U.S. teenager accused of planning a mass shooting has been arrested after sharing a copy of a story he wrote describing the attack, police say. Alex Ye, 18, was arrested in Maryland after an investigation by the FBI and Montgomery County Police. Investigators said the high school student wrote a 129-page memoir in which he described attacking a school in hopes of becoming famous. He started the document with another person who reported it to the police. Quote, in the document, Mr. Ye writes about committing a school shooting and strategizes how to carry out the act, police said in charging documents. The witness who shared the alleged attack plans with police had been sent a chapter of the story on Instagram by Mr. Ye. The two previously met at a psychiatric facility. The witness informed police that they were, quote, striking similarities between the main character and Mr. Ye. The story centers on a character who is transgender and bullied in school, officials say, adding that the witness said elements were pulled from Mr. Ye's life and not fictional. Officials said the story, which they describe as a, quote, manifesto, is evidence that he contemplated attacking an elementary school with a semi-automatic assault rifle. Investigators also obtained handwritten drawings of violent shooting scenes and online chat logs in which he threatens mass violence. Ye is charged with threats of mass violence. Mr. Ye, who was born female but now uses male pronouns, previously was hospitalized for 1 month in 2022 for threatening to, quote, shoot up a school. As a result of the probe, police increased security at local public schools, although they said he had not attended his high school in several years and had been studying online. In other news, the rights of LGBTQ+ students will be protected by federal law, and victims of campus sexual assault will gain new safeguards under rules finalized Friday by the Biden administration. The new provisions are part of a revised Title IX regulation issued by the Education Department, fulfilling a campaign pledge by President Joe Biden. He had promised to dismantle rules created by former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who added new protections for students accused of sexual misconduct. Notably absent from Biden's policy, however, is any mention of transgender athletes. The administration originally planned to include a new policy forbidding schools from enacting outright bans on transgender athletes, but that provision was put on hold. The delay is widely seen as a political maneuver during an election year in which Republicans have rallied around bans on transgender athletes in girls' sports. Instead, Biden is officially undoing sexual assault rules that put in place by his predecessor and current election year opponent, former President Donald Trump. The final policy drew praise from victims' advocates, while Republicans said it erodes the rights of accused students. In state news, stakeholders in New York's cannabis industry are growing apart about how regulators must fix its dragging rollout as the State Office of Cannabis Management undergoes a state executive review. The Cannabis Farmers Alliance on Wednesday blasted the Cannabis Association of New York in response to a letter that the organization sent to the Cannabis Control Board last week, warning against the swift issuing of several more retail licenses. As part of its ongoing OCM review, the executive chamber is pressuring board members to expedite hundreds of retail licenses to defeat the state's thriving illicit market. CFA leaders say that CANY's argument that a steep increase of licenses could flood New York's market or cause a collapse is off base and is an attitude that will only deepen the shortfall. Quote, that stance inadvertently supports the proliferation of the illicit market, a direct competitor that undermines our regulated system and continues to thrive and miss the regulations, unquote, CFA leaders wrote. Quote, allowing the current situation to persist sends a concerning message to every legal retailer in New York State who supplies a waiting sale. The Cannabis Control Board has received thousands of applications for retail licenses that the OCM has not reviewed with its limited staff. The CFA cited New Frontier Group data that estimates New York's illicit market is valued at $7.4 billion, or 50% more than the revenue OCM estimated revenue for the third year of the legal market, which currently generates around $200 million. In local news, Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp., which has been under investigation for years-long billing problems, will restart sending out turn-off notices on a phased-in basis to customers who have an unpaid balance greater than 2 months past due, the utility said Friday. Beginning the week of Monday, April 22nd, Central Hudson will resume issuing final termination notices after 4 years of not doing so, the company said in a statement. Customers who have entered into a payment agreement with Central Hudson will not receive final termination notices, the utility said. A Public Service Commission investigation into Central Hudson's customer billing problems remains ongoing, the agency said in March. In March, the commission ordered the utility to implement recommendations for an audit. One of the audit's findings found that Central Hudson experienced numerous billing issues after replacing its 40-year-old customer information system. After implementation, the company experienced a, quote, dramatic 900% increase in adjusted bills, resulting from the customer information system's replacement, the commission said. The problems led to an outcry from lawmakers and the public and led to the probe by the state agency. A state report in 2020 blasted the utility for its billing practices and ordered it to address it. That ultimately led to monthly meter readings earlier this year. By late summer 2024, virtually all customers should expect to be transitioned to that meter reading system, the utility said. And finally, in world news, Iranian officials said that the Israeli strike on Friday morning was carried out by small exploding drones, a tactic that would follow a well-established pattern in Israeli attacks on Iranian military targets. As Israel has targeted Iranian defense and military officials and infrastructure, small drones, specifically known as quadcopters, have been a signature of those operations. Quadcopter drones, so named because they only have four rotors, have short flight range and can explode on impact. The drones might have been launched from inside Iran, whose radar systems had not detected unidentified aircraft entering the Iranian airspace, Iranian officials said. If the drones were launched within the country, it demonstrates once again Israel's ability to mount clandestine operations in Iranian territory. In other news, two Russian strikes in Ukraine's central Dnipropetrovsk region have killed at least seven people, including two children, local officials say. The station in the main city, Dnipro, came under attack and several homes were hit further east of Snynlakov. President Volodymyr Zelensky said the attack showed that all Ukrainian cities needed more advanced air defenses. In a separate strike, Ukraine said that for the first time it had downed a strategic long-range bomber in Russia. Officials said a boy age 8 and a girl of 14 were among five people who were killed in private homes were targeted by Russian strikes on the town of Snynlakov. A 6-year-old boy who had earlier been reported killed was in critical condition and several other people were wounded. Dnipropetrovsk regional head Serhiy Lysak said. Another two people were killed in the regional capital, Dnipro, when the train and a 5-story building were hit. More than 30 people were injured in Friday's attack in the region. Rail operator Erzan Lizintia said a woman who was on duty at the time was killed and seven other railway workers were hurt. Rescue services were continuing to search the rubble and warned that the number of victims would arise, the ministry added. A maternity hospital was also hit. And that'll be all for us for the news segment. After the break, we will have an exclusive interview with the director and musical director of the Miami Theatre Players' most recent production, Sweet Charity.
I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy!
You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted?
Help us, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Hello and welcome back. SUNY New Paltz is home to many clubs and student organizations, from fraternities and sororities to student media clubs like our own WFNP. These clubs vary in the scope of their activities, but attempt to serve the student body and allow students to participate in something that interests them. In spotlight on their club, the Miami Theater Players, we are glad to have co-director Lyra Spurlock and music director Leah Lacey join us to talk about what their club does and what's it like running their organization. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
Hello. So my first question here, so what are the Miami Theater Players and what's the club about?
It's a student-run theater club on campus. It's just students. We don't have any grown-ups monitoring us.
That's about it.
Got it.
We produce a fully staged musical every semester.
That's incredible. That's a lot. So what's it like putting on a musical each semester? Because each semester, I can't even imagine doing all that.
Well, it's very difficult because it's a really short time frame. Mm-hmm. And we're all students, and most of us aren't theater majors, so we have, like, our own separate things going on aside from that. And we also rehearse really late at night. It can be stressful, but it's definitely worth it, I think.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. As you were saying that you have got to have late hours and there's a lot going on in people's lives, what are some, like, specific difficulties that you've run into?
Well, the school kind of makes it a little bit difficult to, put things on in the easiest way. So that's always a bit of a hassle. You have anything?
It's definitely, like, difficult because we have a very limited budget, and a lot of it usually, especially this semester, is also financially supported by the people on the creative team or the e-board, and that can be really difficult as well because we've been kind of campaigning for a bigger budget, but usually we just have enough money to rent out the space and to purchase the materials and rights for the show. So everything else from, like, the costumes and the set is usually bought by the cast members or the creative team. So that can be really difficult as well. Like, we just don't have the resources that we need.
Yeah, but you guys still put on amazing shows. I went to see Sweet Charity, like, last weekend, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. The costumes were also beautiful, and, like, knowing that those were just all by you guys, it's really impressive.
I think it is also kind of difficult to, like, with all of that Lyra said, it's kind of difficult to please everybody in the cast. But the last two semesters I've been in it for three semesters, but especially the last two semesters that I've been in it, it's been a really positive and happy, cute environment, and everybody really seems to love each other. So that's good.
Yeah, that's incredible. Besides musicals, this is a question more for you two as people rather than like part of the club. Do you guys do any other activities, like, or also even within the club, do you guys have like bonding activities, anything like that?
This was a tradition Miami used to have, like when I first started, that for a couple semesters we weren't able to do just because of time constraints, but we are going to start again this semester doing our cabaret, which basically
lovely.
Anybody can participate in. We have done a formal in the past, and we're looking into doing another one of those this semester. But we do also have like cast bonding activities that are kind of a little bit more informal. That's about it. Yeah,
that sounds like so much fun. So talk a little more about this more recent production. I kind of briefly touched on Sweet Charity. What's the plot of Sweet Charity? Like, just any general questions?
Well, that's kind of a difficult question to ask because there is not much of a plot, but that's kind of its point. It's basically just a story about a girl recounting a couple months of her life, and it's very heartbreaking, but it's also pretty heartwarming, mm-hmm. and I feel like directing it, what I took out of it is just that, like, not everything has a happy ending.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And just being able to, like, find joy in the small things in your life and revel in that is kind of, I guess, its thesis, and just, like, little tiny moments of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of the spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I guess, to me, just about, like, humanity.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. I, as someone who saw the show, I can totally see that. It does not have a happy ending. It was so devastating. I was like, wait, where's the rest of it? Like, but speaking of, this is more of a question for you, Leah. What's it like music directing? What do you do as music director?
Well, okay. you basically just sit in front of those kids and you teach them how to sing the songs. You have to go home and kind of learn it on your own. It's very difficult when you don't know how to play piano, which I've been saying all semester. I've been complaining about that. But you go home, you teach yourself the music, you teach yourself the parts, and you go back to rehearsal. You stand up there in front of them, you get your sopranos and your tenors or your altos and your basses, and you teach them their stuff. You clunk it out on the piano, or if you can't play piano very well like me, then you sing it to them the best you can.
Yeah.
And then the other music director and I would come together at the end and have them run it together. And it's kind of a frustrating process, but because it is kind of a difficult position, but it's very rewarding to hear them all at the end, and they get so excited, and they sound so cute on the stage, and they listen to your notes, and they get into it, and it's really fun.
Yeah. No, what you were just talking about rewarding. That's actually literally the next question. So that's a perfect segue. What's the most rewarding part of being an e-board member, like for both of you?
I think I get very emotional thinking about like just the impact that I've had on these kids. I mean, I don't want to call them kids because they're not much younger than me, but like there was one person in particular that like said to me, like, I wouldn't have anything if you didn't give me an opportunity. During Seussical when they were a freshman, and like that made me just cry. Just seeing the joy on their faces when it all comes together, and like I don't even need like flowers or anything. Like that's my flowers, is like seeing them just love each other and seeing that come out on stage. Just like the fact that they're happy to be there, because like to me, it's not about putting on like a fantastic production. It's about like the process rather than like the product. Mm-hmm. Just like seeing them find friendship and love.
Yeah,
I found like some of like my best friends through this club. So now that like I'm older and I've been in it for a little bit, and we have like these younger people coming in, or people like freshmen coming in. I love those freshmen. they, seeing them, like, get close to each other through this show, and, like, they wouldn't have probably met each other or met anybody through that's in this club without this club, and they're so close, and they get so excited, and they get so into it, and now they want to be on the C team, and seeing them grow and get closer and stuff like that, that's the most rewarding part for me.
That's so beautiful.
It's definitely nice to feel like you're looked up to.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll ask you guys a couple more questions. Your Edge News time is 7:20.
My pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
If your skin could talk, would you listen?
As your skin, I forgive you. I forgive you for damaging me before prom, on spring break, and at tanning salons. But if you continue to tan, I hope you can forgive me. Forgive me when I start developing wrinkles and age spots. Forgive me if I develop melanoma when you're only 22.
Protect your skin from the second most common cancer in young women 15 to 29 years old. Learn more at spotskincancer.org, a message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I'm here with Lyra and Leah, who are on the creative team for the Miami Theater Players, and I'm just asking them a couple questions. So, speaking of Miami E-Board, which is, you know, the topic of this interview, do you think that Miami's changing E-Board allows for, like, a culture shift in the club? Is there, like, because it does, the E-Board does not stay consistent each year, kind of, mm-hmm. There's elections, I believe, for each semester?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to see who wants to run and who gets elected. I know who I'm nominating. I hope those freshmen that I love so much get in there. It definitely allows for club culture to shift.
Yeah, I definitely think it's really rare, with the exception of this semester, we had four people return, for anybody to reprise their role.
Mm-hmm.
At least on the creative team, like, because when you're in, like, PR or, like, you're the president, that's something that is a year-long thing, and those people generally have a niche, and it's hard to teach a new person that, so they kind of stay for a year or two. But, yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's a misconception that, like, oh, like, the E-Board is, like, the same, like, they're, like, it's completely different people every single semester. If you audition, you're going to walk in that room, and the next semester's E-Board probably doesn't know who you are, like, if you were to audition again. And like, I think that people don't really realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you, yeah, totally. I lost my place in the documentary. I apologize. So, what's your favorite Miami experience or story that you have from Miami?
You go. I need to think.
Oh.
I have so many.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wait, I have one.
Okay, you go.
So, oh, my God. When we did Heather's,
ooh,
Ashton Fariello, during Big Fun, leapt into the audience and put his arm around this quote-unquote old woman, and everyone was like, oh my God, did you see Ashton put his arm around that old woman? Like, that's so funny. Like, he was, like, flirting with her, whatever. And so, in between our matinee and our night show, I go to dinner with my mom and my grandma, and my mom goes, you'll never believe what happened to your grandma.
Oh.
And then she was like, this kid the kid that plays like the jock like came up and started like flirting with her, and I had no idea, and I was on stage, I didn't even see it. And then like Ashley, I asked them like this question, we did an interview, and she said that, and I said, that old woman was my grandma. I don't
oh my god, that's incredible.
So yeah.
Okay, mine's not as funny, mine just made me emotional. During Sweet Charity, during the last show, me and Lyra and Patrick, our other director, were sitting in the front row, and was it Joe Cardellano? Are you talking about Joe Cardellano, the jock?
Yeah, no, it was Ashton. Well,
you're talking about Ashton. Yeah. Okay, Joe Cardellano, the other jock from Heather's, was in Sweet Charity, and he was a cop. And he was, like, on the side of the stage, like, writing tickets for people, like, as a bit. And then when the scene was changing, he ran down to the audience and came to the front row and then handed me and Patrick and Lyra a ticket. And it was so cute. And it was, like, best directors ever, or ticket for being the best directors ever. And it was really just cute. Really cute, like, in the middle of the show. It was really cute.
That's lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And so would you say that with all these like beautiful experiences you're describing, funny, heartwarming, I teared up a little bit at the one you said before about that one person who was like, this, I wouldn't have these friends, if anything. Do you think that Miami differs from other forms of community theater?
Oh, definitely. Because it's very holistic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so collaborative. Like, there are times we'll be in rehearsal and I'll be like blocking a scene, and then like somebody in the cast will be like, what if we did it this way? And I'm like, great idea. There's less of a power dynamic. It's more like we're the people that do the organizing. But it's like everybody's ideas are valued, and it's not like, oh, you're my cast and I'm directing you, telling you what to do. It's kind of like, we have a common goal, we're all in this together, and I value what you have to say to me because I want you to do it the way you want to do it because it's your show. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And what would you say to people who've had bad experiences with theater and who would want to try it again?
Well, oh my god, I don't even want to get like emotional. There was, so we do this thing called Pops when we get like in tech week.
Yes.
Where at the end of like a really long rehearsal, we'll sit around and give each other compliments basically. And somebody popped Joe, who played Charity in our production of Sweet Charity, and she just started crying, and she was like, a couple of years ago I had a really bad experience in theater and I never thought I was ever gonna come back, but I took a risk and I came here, and like I'm so glad that you guys have made a home for me. And
oh, wow.
And I mean, I think that's just a success story, because yeah, she thought she was never going to do it again, and she ended up playing the lead, and the titular Charity.
Yeah, and she was incredible. she was incredible. Star.
Shout out, Joe. We love you. We love you, girl.
Incredible.
Leah's in tears.
Leah's in tears. I can't. Oh, no. I literally can't speak about Joe. I get so emotional. Oh, she's just so cute, and I love her. Oh. I love her.
Is there anything else you would like to add? Any comments? Anything?
Please audition.
Yes.
We don't know what we're doing yet, but please audition.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. We love it.
And we try to pick diverse shows so that like we can have different kinds of casts so everybody can get involved. And there's other things too, like the cabaret we can participate in. And
yeah,
we're trying to do more fundraising stuff, hopefully.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. So if you're interested in theater and you attend City New Paltz, audition for Miami Theater Players. The E-Team is great. C-Team? C-Team is great. I was mixing up E-Board and C-Team.
Same thing.
You're so right. Thank you so much for the both of you for coming on, and that'll be it for us for the week. On the Edge News staff, our directors, Alyssa Roldan, that's me, and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Patrick Kelly, who's first time engineering and is killing it. I would like to once again thank our guests, Lyra and Leah, members of the Miami Theater Players E-Board, for coming to the show to talk with us today. Sources for the Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and the New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful weekend.
I really wish I hated you.
Won't you say something? Won't you say something?
I really wish I hated you.
La vida es una sola.